The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And with that, we are off and running on another week. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. And, well, there's no more shutdown. Not that there should have been one in the first place. You know, I may be in the minority here, but I really think the big screw up of the Democrats was doing the shutdown in the first place. There are a lot of reasons to shut down the government, especially when dealing with the Republicans as we are. I worded that poorly. Dealing with these Republicans, because they are truly the worst of the worst. They are reprehensible, sad excuses for human beings, from Trump on down to the lowliest House member. And of course, the voters, that goes without saying. There was a Vice episode on following Bill Maher on Friday night that just it had a focus group of people who voted for Trump. And for the most part, they were all still thrilled with him. I think all except for one. I had to walk away from it because it was so disturbing. The one thing that this presidency has brought out, I think, is the worst in people, the ugliness that is inside so many of us, the mean spiritedness, the attitude that was put forth by candidate Trump at his rallies, the beat him up kind of things, the get him out of here, right? Don't you wish you could, I wish I could go back to the way it used to be. In the old days, they'd carry that guy out on a stretcher, that type of talk. And in fact, that probably brings us to the second of today's stories, which is a school shooting. And as I was making notes of what I was going to talk about here at the beginning of the show, I wrote, first school shooting of the year today in Kentucky. Two dead, 12 wounded, 15-year-old suspect in custody. And then, as I'm doing more reading and research for the show, I come across this tweet from Vox. There have been at least 9 school shootings so far in 2018. 9. Today's only the 23rd of January. It says there have been at least 9 school shootings so far in 2018 based on media reports and data from Everytown for Gun Safety. There was one yesterday in Texas, but nobody was killed. And the thing with today's shooting in Kentucky, only 2 people dead, not enough to make it, you know, a lead story on the nightly news. There have to be more multiples. It's going to be, you know, a higher death toll if it's going to lead off the newscasts. I don't even know if it's been mentioned on cable news because, you know, they do have the shutdown to deal with and the lies and the promises or the intentions from Turtle McDurtle there. You know, to me, an intention is I intend, you know, when you wake up in the morning, and you put forth your intentions for the day. I intend to make this a wonderful day. Do you remember those days when you'd actually try to, you know, start the day off on a positive note and you'd put forth intentions to the universe? I intend for today to be perfect. Yeah. I like Ro Khanna, a congressman from the San Jose area in California, who tweeted out, "What is the point of forcing a 2-day shutdown if Democrats are just going to cave?" Paul Ryan still has refused to commit to a vote for the Dreamers. McConnell's promise to get DACA done is as phony as his promise to Susan Collins. That's what we're dealing with. These people, you know what? If they didn't know how to lie effectively enough before, they learned it from the master of the liars, that guy sitting in the White House, who insists, oh, he hasn't spoken to Jeff Sessions about his testimony before Robert Mueller's committee. No, and he's not the least bit concerned. This is the man who tells you every day that the sky is green when you and I both know it's blue, but he says it's green so often and so forcefully that he's got all of his supporters believing him. And if not believing him, saying, but it's okay because he's our guy, so we're going to roll with it. We're going to just go with it. So here we have this shutdown. It lasted for all of 2 days, or, three, maybe. And they're back today. And that's a good thing. Look, shutdown is desperate measures. And I don't know that we were at that point. What did they get yesterday that wasn't on the table on Friday? Because nothing. Absolutely nothing. I love Credo Action. You know, the cell phone company also has it's a social justice company. And they're calling Chuck Schumer the worst negotiator in history. Now, Donald Trump's not much of a negotiator either, but Chuck Schumer, I guess, totally caved. Now, I'll say it again. I don't think that they should, and this might make me unpopular with some people, so don't take me the wrong way. I believe the Dreamers need to be allowed to stay here. I believe if you were brought here as a child, this is the only country you know, this is your country. Something's got to happen to make those people whole. If not citizens, at least give them a pathway towards citizenship where they could work towards getting there, so they could go to school, so they could have a job, so they could live their lives, so we don't break up their families. Chip got funded, Emma Heidi saying in the chat room. That's right. Chip was also funded, same thing, for 6 years on Friday. There's nothing new in what they got yesterday. Same thing. It was in the deal on Friday, and they didn't need to... they didn't need to shut it down. If they're going to shut down the government, maybe they should do it to ensure that tens of millions of us don't lose our health care. Robert Hill, New York City, makes a really good point in the chat room. He's an adoptive parent, as am I. He writes, "My daughter was born in China, brought to New York City as a baby. She's just as much an American as the Dreamers are." I guess I could say that about my daughter as well. Brought her here as a baby. She was born in Kazakhstan. So I do believe the Dreamers need to be made whole. I think DACA needs to be enshrined in law, codified, whatever the proper word is. And we need to... get on with it. This is something that I think it's like 87% of the public is in favor of. But there are so many other issues that are so important. And what are the Democrats going to just shut down the government every time we don't get our way? We're not going to get our way. We've got another 3 years of this, hopefully only another 1 year, because in November, everybody's going to go out and vote and there will be a change in the leadership of Congress, right? Ideally, both houses of Congress. But until and unless that happens, this is our reality. And sorry, we've got no one to blame but ourselves. Not you and me individually, because we did our part. But the Democrats, they didn't do a good enough job. Pure and simple, the Democrats did not do a good enough job to get people out to the polls, to get people out and voting. So much so, Donald Trump is the fucking president of the United States. As ridiculous as that sounds, and as it hurts every time I say those words, that's the reality we have to deal with. Paul Ryan is the Speaker of the House, and Mitch McConnell is the Senate Majority Leader. That is our reality. No. Durkheim's ghost in the chat room just said they got Chip off table, a commitment to bring DACA to the floor, and could still go for the shutdown in 3 weeks if need be. First of all, Chip was off the table. Chip was a six-year extension to Chip, which is what they got, was on the table on Friday. They would have had that without a shutdown. A commitment to bring DACA to the floor? A commitment. No, they got Mitch McConnell saying it's his intention to do so, and nothing from the House. So you might recall the Senate passed an immigration bill in the last session of Congress, and the House never took it up. The House still could just choose not to take it up because they didn't deal with the House at all. They got a half-assed commitment from Mitch McConnell to bring up immigration, not even DACA. So, sorry, Durkheim's ghost in the NicoleSandler.com chat room, you're wrong on that one. They really got nothing. And wow, they could shut it down again in 3 weeks. It looks bad for the party that's responsible for the shutdown, because nobody wants a government shutdown. And so the threat to shut it down again, what, for another 2 days? Joseph Moore is asking, what else can the left do? The media doesn't report the truth, period. Now you're sounding like now you're sounding like Donald Trump. The media does actually report the truth. Sometimes. That's the problem. It's in their efforts to be fair and, dare I say, balanced, they go overboard with the Me Toos. Well, not the Me Toos, with the both sides, the both siderisms. So, yeah. See, call me Trip. The House gave us less than nothing. And it's in What's News, you'll hear in just a moment. Steve Scalise has said the House made no agreement, nothing. So there is no no promise, no nothing from the House. So really, we got nothing out of the shutdown that wasn't on the table on Friday. Chip was really important. Dare I say, Chip was probably more important than... this is going to sound wrong when I say it, but I got to say it anyway. With Chip, we were talking about health care for 9 million children. 9 million children. For DACA, we're talking about fewer than 800,000 people. Now, these are human beings who I believe need to stay here. But we didn't get anything for them. We got no promises. We got an intention from Mitch McConnell to do something on February 8th about immigration. Mark my words, it's a little over 2 weeks away. Nothing's going to be done before February 8th, and we're going to be in the same shithole we're in now. And yes, I use that word on purpose. All right, there's so much to go on about. We'll bring Got a Laugh in, but first let's check out what's happening in the news. We do it in a segment I call What's News.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Are there any senators in the chamber wishing to vote or wishing to change their vote? If not, on this vote, the yeas are 81, the nays are 18. Three-fifths of the senators duly chosen and sworn having voted in the affirmative, the motion is agreed to. Cloture having been invoked, the motion to refer falls.
After 3 days of contentious negotiations and name-calling, Congress voted to end a government shutdown Monday when Democrats agreed to trust the word of Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The president signed the spending bill Monday evening.
After pushing back that it was a Democratic shutdown, the party's leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, announced it was about to end.
After several discussions, offers, counteroffers, the Republican leader and I have come to an arrangement. We will vote today to reopen the government.
Roughly 3 days into a shutdown designed to press for a solution for the young undocumented immigrants known as the Dreamers, Democrats gave in to Republican demands to reopen the government.
I think if we've learned anything during this process, it's that a strategy to shut down the government over the issue of illegal immigration is something the American people didn't understand and would not have understood in the future. So I'm glad we've gotten past that.
But missing in the GOP victory lap was President Trump. Instead, the press secretary read a statement from the president.
quote, I am pleased that Democrats in Congress have come to their senses.
Throughout the weekend, the president kept out of view, except for a few official White House photographs.
What the president did clearly worked.
Now comes the hard part. While the deal funds the government for the next 3 weeks, it comes with a non-binding agreement to find a solution for the Dreamers. In exchange for protecting the Dreamers, the White House says it wants to build a border wall and family-based immigration or chain migration and scrap a lottery program for some immigrants. One senior administration official expressed the hardening White House view by saying a wall does not equal border security. And the White House won't even say if the Dreamers will receive a path to citizenship.
That's part of the negotiation process, but right now, again, we want a permanent solution for that program.
Although Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he'd address the status of Dreamers, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise told Politico that the House doesn't feel at all bound by that agreement and said, quote, we're not going to pass a bill that has amnesty. There are things that would anger our base that I don't see us passing in the House. The government is now funded through February 8th. FBI Director Christopher Wray threatened to quit over pressure to fire his deputy director, Andrew McCabe.
Axios reporter Jonathan Swan reports it this way. FBI director threatened to resign amid Trump Sessions pressure. And he writes, quote, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, at the public urging of President Donald Trump, has been pressuring FBI Director Christopher Wray to fire Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. But Wray threatened to resign if McCabe was removed, according to three sources with direct knowledge. Wray's resignation under those circumstances would have created a media firestorm. The White House, understandably gun-shy after the Comey debacle, didn't want that scene, so McCabe remains. Sessions told White House counsel Don McGahn about how upset Wray was about the pressure on him to fire McCabe. McGahn told Sessions this issue wasn't worth losing the FBI director over, according to a source familiar with the situation.
A Michigan man has been arrested after allegedly threatening to gun down CNN employees at the network's Atlanta headquarters over, quote, fake news. The man, who has not been identified, is said to have made 22 calls to the news network about a week ago, sparking an FBI investigation. He allegedly told a CNN operator he was traveling to Georgia to gun you all down after repeatedly accusing the network of broadcasting fake news, a phrase made popular by Donald Trump. The man is quoted as saying in federal court documents, I'm smarter than you, more powerful than you. I have more guns than you, more manpower. Your cast is about to get gunned down in a matter of hours. Federal investigators traced the man's calls and arrested him before he was able to carry out any of his alleged threats. From the Trying to Rewrite History files comes Ted Cruz, who on Monday claimed that he has, quote, consistently opposed shutdowns, despite him shutting down the government in 2013 over Obamacare funding. NBC's Casey Hunt called him out on it.
We should not be shutting the government down. I have consistently opposed shutdowns. In 2013, I said we shouldn't shut the government down. Indeed, I went to the Senate floor repeatedly asking unanimous consent to reopen the government.
Sir, you stood in the way of that.
Okay, that's factually incorrect.
It's not, though.
It's a wonderful media narrative. But only one thing actually causes a shutdown. When you have senators who vote to deny cloture on a funding bill. And when that bill comes up, you have a vote. In 2013, virtually every single Republican voted to fund the government, including me multiple times. In fact, every single Democrat, I believe, in 2013 voted to shut the government down. The same thing is true here. Virtually every single Republican voted this week to fund the government. Virtually every single Democrat voted to shut it down.
Sir, that's simply not the case. This was about Obamacare funding.
Which of those facts are incorrect?
You insisted at that time.
I get that you want to debate me, but you don't actually have any facts.
I got the news.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment. Shooting the shit with Laffy.
All right. This will make us all feel better. Every Tuesday, right around this time, we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, to laugh and to check out the news through her Twitter feed. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the Trump shutdown hotline.
Okay. It's still in operation, I see.
press 1 if you think Trump. I'm sorry. This hotline is temporarily unavailable due to the government shutdown. We have been furloughed. We'll resume operation once we're back in full swing. Please hold for breaking news. Press 2 is currently deferring to press 3. The Trump shutdown seems to have ended. Please hold while we resume operations. Press 3 if you think anyone who bought into anything McConnell claims that he promised is a gullible fool. Have a nice day.
That was very good. You got like me.
When I first wrote it, the shutdown was in full swing.
Right.
And I was just going to end it. Like, you can't do this. We can't talk because of a shutdown. And then as I'm writing it, the shutdown ends. And I was like, oh, crap. Now what do I do? So I just decided to play on the fact that it goes back and forth. So anyway.
Well, yes. So, yeah, you got me there. So did what I say make sense? I mean, I'm with the dreamers. I'm with the DACA people. I'm so there. But there's so many other issues that if this is going to be what we die on, and they got nothing for it.
Nothing. Well, I think, I mean, like, I totally do get your point,
but
people were so ready for Schumer, for the Dems to take a stand and just put our foot down and do something that I think that's where all the support for it came, you know.
Right. Well,
we just needed to have somebody fighting for us.
Yes, ready for the Democrats to show some balls to stand up and do something finally.
Right.
And it just was so ineffective. And
exactly, that's the problem.
And again, I don't know that this was the thing that they should have had the shutdown over.
Well, think about all the voters who would be affected. I think that's probably why they chose to.
None. Dreamers can't vote.
But, I mean, I'm talking about all the supporters of DACA.
Right, supporters of DACA. But the families can't vote. If the kids were brought here, undocumented. Their parents are undocumented. Now, maybe they have children, but their children
would not extended families that can vote. Yeah, I'm not talking about.
For the most part, no. We're talking about a population that cannot vote. You see where I'm going with this? I mean,
I'm talking about citizens that are rallying behind it. That are that are related to people who can't vote. I think that's a big chunk. Well, at least I guess I'm, because living in California.
Yeah.
I'm kind
still,
of, you know,
there's a lot of dreamers, but most of them and their extended families can't vote.
Right. I'm just thinking of the people surrounding them, because there are so many out there. The rallies are so huge for them. The people who, other than the dreamers, who go on TV and talk about it, it just seems like an enormous issue that, of course, is tied directly into immigration as a whole.
Yes.
And I think they chose that to delineate the difference between the racists and the non-racists.
Okay, but see, I don't think it does that, because, this is an issue that needs to be on its own. Immigration.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
And to tie it to the budget and to a government shutdown.
Right.
I know Tripp was saying, it should be, they should have stayed shut down for weeks, months. You can't do that. You just can't. And especially, and it's an issue that doesn't directly affect most people. Although the approval, the polling support of DACA, of the DREAM Act, is insane. It's through the roof. That's why
it
should
be. That's
what
I'm talking about, the supporters who back it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they back a shutdown on top of it.
No, they don't. Not if you put the question to them, is it worth the shutdown, then it flips. It's not 80% that flips, but it's, like, I can't remember, 53 or something to whatever. I think there's good points to be made on both of these arguments, because I was ready for a fight. I'm just like, come on, just fight. Do something. Show us you care about us.
I agree. But I want them to fight for Medicare for all. I want them to fight to, to make sure we don't lose our insurance at the end of this year. I want them to fight for so many things.
Oh, sure.
The DREAM Act being one of them. But you know what? the chip funding, why didn't they should have fought for 10 years instead of six? You know why
six years?
It went from taking a loss budgetarily to making it make sense. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's something
right,
like
but I've seen them. Yeah, I totally know what you're saying. I know. And now
we got nothing. We got right. Mitch McConnell's intention. Gee.
The intention,
really?
Like he intended to, when he shook hands with, oh my God, my brain, every time I come on your show, my brain goes to sleep. But isn't that awful? This is the last place that you go to sleep. Who left the Senate? Harry Reid. Thank you. He shook hands with Harry Reid over the filibuster rule. He completely lied about that. And of course, Merrick Garland, he completely, you know, lied about everything. So to trust anything about his intentions is insane. Nothing any of them say, nothing any of the Republicans promise is worth anything.
Nothing.
That was the point of my opener.
And the House Republicans were totally left out of it, so they promised nothing. We got nothing
right.
from them.
Right. They're not going to vote. They're not going to take up a bill. I mean, can you imagine Paul Ryan even taking this up?
No. And that's the whole thing. So they went through this whole charade, which is really what it turned out to be, because nothing was gained from it. And now they've got 2 weeks and a couple of days. And Mitch McConnell, maybe if he keeps his intention, we'll bring it up in the Senate, but there's nothing that's going to make Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, bring it up on the House side.
Not at all. Meanwhile, just an update that Schumer took the wall off the table. He said that was part of a package.
Gee.
So.
After he offered the wall.
After he offered a billion something or 2 billion, whatever it was.
It was like 1.6 billion.
We should not be supporting this wall in any shape or form. It should not be called, what is it, the security, you know, border security. It should not. No, we do not support a wall, no matter what you call it. And it's a racist wall. And we should call it what it is, a racist wall. So any money that goes towards something like that is insane. It's useless. It's
but if they want it, look. But they do need border security. The wall is never going to get built. Let's say this.
Don't use
a euphemism. Say it again. The wall is never going to get built. So
right.
if they put more money towards border security, there's going to be more money towards border security regardless. And if it gives them, you know, something that they can say they want a point, give them their point. It's not going to be a wall. The wall is never going to get built. You heard John Kelly say it.
Yes, that's true. But I think that Trump will, or the Republicans may somehow shift the money around so that it does go for some part of a wall. I think that they'll, you know, the wall won't be built. The wall, no. But they'll do something underhanded that will end up paying for part of a wall, and Trump will go around beating his chest, and his supporters will be all invigorated. So I just think we need to make it really clear that there's no such thing as a wall.
Right. There will be no wall. Regardless, there will be no wall.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just don't trust them to anyway. So you want to go into the tweets because I've got some.
Sure, let's do it. I'm ready for some birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, it's I know Twitter is kind of crazy today, and as usual, it's kind of schizophrenic. It's like all over the place with this story, that story, that story, that story.
Isn't it? It's schizophrenic, and oh my God, the trolls! Ever since the Women's March, the trolls have been out in force. They're worried about everything, and now with this new news about Comey having testified and
Sessions
haven't gone in. Everybody's all crazed. But anyway, speaking of the wall, my friend who used to do all my blunt videos, Saturnine, he said if the government, okay, so he was responding to Sahil Kapoor's McConnell on immigration, if the government is open on February 8th, we will have a fair and open process. Whoever gets 60 votes wins.
Let's focus on that for a second.
That's
McConnell said, if the government is open on February 8th.
If the government is open. So Saturnine says, if the government is open on February 8th. So he means to do bugger all until the budget deadline day,
yep.
then cut off debate because they have to get the CR done. Slime Turtle needs his ass kicked. That was his response.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So if the government yes. is open on February 8th, you picked right up on the right thing. So the Trump administration, according to The Hill's tweet, is waiving dozens of environmental rules to speed up construction of his border wall.
Oh, God.
This made me so angry. I can't eat. First of all, I get angry every time I think about him lifting all these environmental regulations. I go nuts because every state has issues there. But California's in the middle of a drought even now. You know, I know the governor said the drought was over, but we haven't had rain, any meaningful rain in a long time. And we're right back.
And when
into
you did,
it.
You had mudslides. So that was.
Yeah.
No fun.
Yeah. So it started a whole nother thing. But so for him to say he's lifting more regulations for his idiot, stupid, racist wall. Don't even start me. I'm already started. But I'm just so angry about it. I can't even. I'm sputtering. I'm sputtering today. That's how
it's
angry
okay.
I am.
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know it. Okay, so here's something. This was from the Washington Post. For female journalists, strip searches. I'm covering some of this headline here. Let me get it out. Female journalists covering Pence in Israel forced to stand behind male colleagues, but then they go on to say, "Wink." This is not the first time a female journalist attempting to cover a formal event with the Israeli prime minister has been asked to strip.
Yep.
An Al Jazeera journalist was also asked to remove her bra at an event in 2011. At Netanyahu's office on Monday morning, a visiting female journalist from Finland's state television was asked to remove her bra during an overly zealous and demeaning security check. When she refused, she was prevented from covering Pence's news conference with Netanyahu.
Well, first of all, to the journalist from Finland, you didn't miss anything. Second of all,
true.
Really, you're better off not getting anywhere near either one of those men. But seriously, how reprehensible is this? I saw that story. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable. I'm just today, just today.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jared Kushner is qualified to broker a Middle East peace deal because he was given a lot of responsibility as a child, his father claims. This was from theweek.com.
Okay.
Really?
Unbelievable.
So daddy let him walk the dog and now he can broker.
No. See, daddy was sent to jail. So Jared had to do a lot of daddy's work while daddy was behind bars.
That's true. Big daddy, little daddy. Okay,
that's right.
Got it.
That's why he was given so much responsibility at such a young age, because daddy was in prison.
Yes. Okay, so Politico was, there's a little, like a screen grab of something Politico posted that Sahil Kapoor comments on. So here's what he screen grabbed. Way a paid off, this is, oh, I don't know what the story is here. Tony Perkins, Evangelicals, Donald Trump, Stormy Daniels, something like that. Okay. Weigh a paid off porn star against being the first president to address the March for Life. And a lot of evangelical leaders insist they can still walk away happy. Evangelical Christians, says Perkins, Tony Perkins, quote, "We're tired of being kicked around by Barack Obama and his leftists.
Oh,
and
God.
I think they are finally glad that there's somebody on the playground that is willing to punch the bully," unquote. "What happened to turning the other cheek?" I ask. Quote, "You know, you only have two cheeks," Perkins says. "Look, Christianity is not at all about being
four.
A welcome mat which people can just stomp their feet on," unquote. And Sahil Kapoor says, revealing stuff, "Evangelical leaders are fine with essentially any kind of behavior by Trump as long as he channels their feelings of persecution by the left."
I'm so sick of how they feel so persecuted by the left. Boy, if anyone knows what it feels like to be persecuted today, it's us on the left.
Yes.
Unreal.
Isn't that just unbelievable? So any way they can, they enable Trump, you know, whether it's God forgives him or he asks God for forgiveness. You know, there's always some rationalization by the Christian right or by evangelicals, whoever it is, to leave, you know, you're fine now. You said something and you're fine, or daddy left you and you're fine, or whatever it is and you're fine. We're mad at the left and you're fine. There's just this constant enabling. and aiding and abetting by all sorts of groups and all sorts of people, including the RNC, including just the GOP in general.
But the biggest hypocrites are those religious right people who forgive him all of his proclivities, shall we say. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington tweeted out, President Trump is accused of paying $130,000 in hush money to porn star Stormy Daniels to hide an affair a month before the election. In what is probably just a coincidence, the Trump campaign transferred $130,000 to the Trump businesses a month after the election. To which
I have that one up. That was
right?
My next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so you've got that. Jesse Wegman, who's on the New York Times editorial board, tweeted that with this comment. Having an affair with a porn star, not illegal. Doing so while your wife is nursing your new baby, not illegal. Yep. Paying the porn star hush money a month before Election Day, not illegal. Reimbursing yourself out of campaign funds, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hope. They should. I mean,
I think it was it Wittes? I can't remember who tweeted that. This $130,000, you know, when we start digging, won't that be ironic if Stormy was his downfall after all this Russia stuff? Because they can do the paper trail there too. So we've got these two things happening in tandem. We've got the money trail, you know, Trump's finances and his money laundering and all that. And then we also have the Stormy $130,000 that you just read about, you know, from Crew. There are so many things going on, and Trump has got to get nailed. He's got to.
You would think. Now they're saying that there's no direct correlation between the two $130,000 payoffs or payouts, but they look like payoffs. Could just be a coincidence, but we remember the secret. There are no coincidences.
That's exactly what I tweeted on that.
Oh,
there
how funny.
No coincidences. You and I'm telling you.
I got one more to go along with this. Judd Legum from Think Progress.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted that Melania Trump will no longer be joining the president in Davos. And so Judd Legum retweeted that with the comment, trip canceled due to stormy weather.
That's what I tweeted.
Really?
I said the same thing. And,
oh,
and the
funny.
Trolls went down my stream like, you know, like rain. I that one got retweeted a lot. I said, what, stormy weather?
Oh, funny.
The honeymoon's over, whatever. Uh-huh. I can't remember what I said, but I definitely said stormy weather. And that's what started the trolls.
Oh, God.
That started it. Yeah, for that some reason, that's what they're upset about. Okay.
Unbelievable. But can you imagine if it were, you know, Obama or look at what happened with John Edwards.
Forget about that. If Obama had married a former nude model.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Who was coming in from another country?
Right,
that would have been it, right there.
Of course, but it's okay if you're a Republican.
It's exactly. They were upset because Michelle Obama had bare arms.
Yes, I remember.
In her dress, in her picture. So
how dare
whatever.
She has arms.
She has arms. The right to bear arms. All right, so Jackie Combs from LA Times. Has anyone told Trump that yesterday a man clearly influenced by this sort of anti-CNN, anti-press attack was arrested as he planned a real attack at CNN headquarters to, as he put it, gun you all down? And
yep.
Brian Beutler says reporters will ask the press secretary who is holding, she's about to hold her White House lying session right now, about this. And she'll say some bullshit about how Trump can't be held responsible for the actions of lone crazies. And when she does, remember, the president's campaign just said Democrats are complicit in all murders committed by, quote, illegal immigrants. So
should
be held responsible.
Have you heard that ad?
Oh, I tweeted out. Joy Reid put it out on TV when it broke because it was an email blast.
Uh-huh.
So I took a screen grab over the weekend and posted it, which got that went viral. That one I got like Malcolm Nance retweeted it or somebody,
wow.
And it went crazy. Yes, and then the audio.
The audio is really sickening. And it says, you know, this message approved by Donald J. Trump, although he's claiming that it didn't come from him.
Yeah, but it was the Trump campaign,
right? It's his reelection campaign,
right? So yeah.
He can't.
I know. Exactly. That's exactly how I'm feeling. My hair is falling out as we speak. Okay. So gun industry gathers just a few miles from mass shooting. This is from Nick Riccardi, AP. And he says the SHOT show, S-H-O-T, which I guess is a trade show. She says the main firearms trade show is taking place near the site of the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history.
God.
And this on the heels of the shooting at the Kentucky school today.
Right, of course.
Unbelievable.
Which again, I'm not seeing any news coverage of because only two people were killed.
It got a mention or two on MSNBC.
It?
Yeah. They showed some footage. You know, they showed some, I think they showed a press conference or they were show. I had the sound off, but they did pay some attention. But I think they might have even said, this plus all the news breaking today, you know, we wish we could devote more time to it or something.
I'd love to see the memo to find out what is the delineation? What's that demarcation line? Like if it's more than five people dead, then we go wall-to-wall coverage because, you know, there's a policy out there somewhere.
Well, there were 17 people shot.
Yes.
I keep seeing different numbers, but 17 is the one people are settling on right now.
But only two dead.
Yeah, yeah. You know, thoughts and prayers.
Right. Just like, you know, when I thought this was the first school shooting of the year until I find out that there have been nine.
Yeah,
nine
that's amazing.
So far in 2018.
It's one every 2 days. Is that what, or was it two a day? I forgot. What are we now? January 23rd.
Today's the 23rd. So yeah. If there were nine, there wasn't school every day. And, you know, there were some snow days, too. So you got to
Yeah. Can't go shooting in the snow.
No.
It's too inconvenient. So after cashing in on this is from Think Progress. After cashing in on the GOP tax bill, Bank of America is now penalizing low income customers.
Of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
How?
The bank will charge $12 monthly fees for accounts with less than $1,500 or monthly direct deposits of at least $250.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Close those commercial bank accounts. Go join a credit union. I almost have no sympathy for anyone who still has an account at Bank of America or Wells Fargo or somewhere like that.
Yeah, you should know better. We closed ours out years ago.
Go join a credit union. There are credit unions in every town. Go join a credit union.
Several right near us. I mean, we have a choice, which is pretty amazing.
Yep.
So Matthew Iglesias, he tweeted, he's answering Lamar Alexander, Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee.
Yes.
His tweet, Alexander's tweet is, I enjoyed having dinner tonight. At the home of Senator John Cornyn and his wife, Sandy, with our newest support, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, Transportation Secretary Chao, and a few of my other Senate colleagues, blah, 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 to talk issues.
Unreal.
And Matthew Iglesias says, just a Supreme Court Justice sitting in on a little GOP Senate caucus strategy session.
Right. They don't even attempt to have a nonpartisan veneer anymore. Not even an attempt at the show. It's reprehensible. And for this, Mitch McConnell kept a Supreme Court seat open almost a year.
Exactly. We can't have Merrick Garland because it's the last year of Obama and we can't. How can we possibly nominate somebody in his last whole year?
Right.
What?
Yep.
Excuse me. What?
And you see, that would have been worth shutting down the government over.
Yes, absolutely. That was gigantic.
Yep.
That was just gigantic.
Democrats, I don't know what they could have done. That, you know, it's not my job, man. But they could have done something. They should have done something. Something should have been done there.
Yes. And we just look at it and say, okay, here we go. Here we have Gorsuch now. And now the next one out is going to have somebody even worse. And, you know, the Heritage Foundation or whoever it was gave him a list. Who gave him the list? It wasn't Heritage, was it?
It was the Federal Society.
Federalist. That's what it was. All right. So the tweets from yesterday. So Joy Reid took pleasure in all capping Republican source. McConnell can't be trusted.
Well,
you think?
Well, he can, only on days that don't end in a Y.
Yes. So Chris Hayes tweeted, the lesson of Cruz, McConnell, and Trump is that being furious, obstinate, and obstructionist works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's all.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
and lying, just the lies. I mean, I don't know if you heard in What's News, because we were having some trouble connecting. But I played some of the Ted Cruz saying he consistently opposed the government shutdown.
He read Green Eggs and Sham.
Yes. He held the floor for how many hours during his shutdown? It was his. I mean, that one, I didn't even lay at the feet of all the Republicans. That was the Ted Cruz shutdown, as opposed
Absolutely.
To this one, the Donald
how
Trump
he
shutdown.
Just say that. We have video. It's yes. there.
Yeah.
We see it. We hear
yep.
it. Oh,
but he's learned right. from Trump. You can say the sky is green. And
yeah,
if you say
true.
It forcefully enough and obstinately enough, you know, at least your base will back you up on it.
Well, at least they learned something from Trump. They learned how to do that. They
Great.
Don't care anymore.
Aren't we lucky?
University professor Michael McDonald on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling that Pennsylvania's congressional districts violated the Pennsylvania Constitution and ordering a new map for 2018, he said, this is a professor, whoa, this likely puts several PA houses, House districts in play, makes the House that much closer to the Dems to take. SCOTUS could intervene, but this is a state court decision that rests on state, not federal law, although they are appealing it.
They of course they are.
And LOL GOP, our buddy, says a huge reason the House Republicans are so eager to harm Dreamers is that 95%-ish of their districts have been gerrymandered to be majority white and disconnected from reality.
Well, that's true.
Mm. They're all disconnected from reality.
Yes.
So.
The same thing happened in North Carolina, but the Supreme Court jumped in and said, but they don't have to redraw the districts anytime soon, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. I guess they're saying, well, we don't want to rush into anything. Let's just, you know, it may not be legal, but let's wait and let them take their time.
Yeah.
So we don't have it for the 2018 elections.
Right. Of course, because Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of voting, Ari Berman of Mother mm-hmm. Jones, who is the go-to on this stuff, it says state and federal courts have now ruled against GOP gerrymandering in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, North Carolina, mm-hmm. Texas, Florida, Alabama, and Virginia. What does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells us, you know, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
It also makes me wonder what's going to happen at the Supreme Court case that was already heard in Wisconsin with the gerrymandering. We're just waiting on the decision, which probably won't come down until June. But the Supreme Court did take up one of these gerrymandering cases. So we'll see. But I don't hold out a whole lot of hope.
Oh, I don't either. That's the problem. Ordinarily, I'd be ecstatic about this because all the lower courts, or, you know, the state courts, are ruling in favor of getting rid of that kind of gerrymandering. And now I'd be thinking, oh, good. So the Supreme Court will likely listen to all this evidence and go along with that. Now I'm thinking, now they'll listen to all this evidence and we've got 5-4.
Yep. Well, we'll see. Yeah, you know, it comes down to Anthony Kennedy yet again. We'll see what happens.
Well, fingers crossed on that.
Yep.
So the Boston Globe's Matt Beiser said, Ted Cruz, quote, I have consistently opposed shutdowns, which is what you were saying. And there's a little asterisk. And then he adds, that don't involve me reading Green Eggs and Ham on the Senate floor.
And
so
he even got that wrong. For people who don't remember, he prefaced it as saying, you know, his kids have to go to sleep and he reads them a bedtime story. And he was saying he got it wrong. The meaning of Green Eggs and Ham is,
yes.
you know, try it. You might like it. And he got it. He got it back asswards.
Right.
The
irony of it is that he was reading this thing and it just worked against him no matter what he was doing.
Right.
So.
No matter how he tried to spin it, he couldn't contort himself enough to make it back up what he was saying. It just proved the opposite point.
Yeah.
He's such a moron.
Isn't that just like him, though? Yeah. Jeff Stein from Washington Post said, very despondent sounding Senate Democratic aide, quote, Democrats just showed their hand. McConnell has no reason to believe that they as a whole caucus will fight for a DACA fix beyond a few days next time. That was just a random thing.
Right.
But I mean, just everybody's take. You know, everyone has a slightly different take on this.
Yep.
It's all depressing to me, but
it is.
What do I know? Jennifer Bendery from HuffPost said, final list of Senate Dems who just voted against reopening the government without protections for Dreamers are, these are the people who we can thank for at least taking a stand, Blumenthal, Booker, these are all presidential, not all, but a lot of them are 2020 hopefuls, Blumenthal, Booker, Cortez, Mosto, Feinstein, Gillibrand, Harris, Hirono, Leahy, Markey, Menendez, Merkley, Murphy, Sanders, Tester, Warren, and Wyden.
And all I can think of as you read those names is there's got to be someone else who rises from the masses to run in 2020, because if that's even, you know, a quarter of those are the field, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same. I've been seeing a lot of people in my stream saying Booker, and I'm like, no. Do you understand that he's for charter schools? He's big farmers backs him, and a lot of corporate entities back him, and he's very, he does good deeds and he does some good things, but there's a lot going against him too. I mean, none of these people are bad people, you know. But there's so many things that just go back to what we're used to. And it would be so great to have somebody with a huge personality and balls.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what surprised me is Dianne Feinstein on that list that she voted against cloture. But there you go.
She's up for reelection.
Yeah. She surprised me a few times lately. Still not a fan of hers, but she has surprised me recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish she'd do more surprises like that. That would be wonderful. The Hill said, Trump known to use Indian accent to imitate India's prime minister report. Quote, Trump reportedly uses an accent to imitate Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Senior administration officials told the Washington Post that Trump has been known to, quote, affect an Indian accent to quote Modi, who last year condemned U.S. activity in Afghanistan during a private meeting with Trump. So there's this little racism rising its ugly little orange head again.
Yeah, I'd say unbelievable, but it's totally believable. I've got one that sort of goes in line with that. Ian Bremmer, political scientist, tweeted out, percentage change in trust in government 2017 to 2018. South Korea up 17%. France up 9%. Spain up 9%. China up 8%. Germany up 5%. Canada up 3%. Japan, Russia, UK, Turkey all unchanged. India down 5%. US down 14%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I love how Trump always says, I've got the global trust now. Everyone's trusting me. I'm the best leader you could ever have. Trust. I'm surprised, though, that this story about him affecting an Indian accent didn't get any play on TV. I didn't see it anywhere.
I didn't see it anywhere either. This is the first I heard of it. I like Robert Hill, New York City, in the chat room, wrote, which Indian accent? Comanche, Apache, Cherokee?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Brian Fallon of CNN, and it used to be a Clinton spokesman, he said, Senate Dems are being asked to entrust the lives of 800,000 Dreamers to the, this is what you were saying, intention, in quotes, of a man who said in 2009 his number one goal was the defeat of Barack Obama, who imposed a year-long blockade of Judge Garland. I mean, this is exactly what we were saying.
Yep.
I mean, everybody is seeing it, but, you know, it happens anyway. Will Fisher of Vote Vets says, can you imagine being a Dreamer and having someone look at you and say, don't worry, Mitch McConnell gave us his word?
I shouldn't laugh because it's not funny.
It isn't funny, but it is the way he wrote it. It was so good. Richard Painter, the former Bush ethics guy, said the government shutdown is the second Trump trap that Schumer walked right into. The first was the Roger Stone / Fox setup job on Al Franken. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to feel strongly about an issue, but you only help Trump if you do something foolish because of it.
You know, Richard Painter makes some really good points. And the whole Al Franken thing still pisses me off.
Me too.
You'll notice he's the only one who's resigned because of this. And and the Trump people pointed him and say, well, he admitted it. No, he didn't. He admitted to taking a stupid picture. He didn't admit that he was touching her, because he wasn't. He took a stupid picture.
He says he doesn't remember touching the women in the photographs, you know, where they said he has his hands on their butts or something. He says he doesn't remember it the same way. So, no, that's not an admission. That's like, I'm sorry. I really am. I don't remember that. But wow, that's creepy. That, you know,
if I did that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So to them, that's admitting it. No. And but it was a trap. I fully believe it. That they set him up, and the Democrats, as always, fell for it.
Yep. Oh. And finally, my last one is Alida Garcia, Deputy Latino Vote Director on Obama's reelection campaign. I'm leaving the Democratic Party today. They're complicit with every single young person living in fear. Every pain Latino and immigrant families feel from here out is 100% due to the Democrats not fully embracing us as American. Implicit racism is equally as harmful. I'm done. That's major. That's wow. I mean, no, but I'm saying this is the result, whether it's right or not, whether it's deserved or not. This is what people, we've got people all over the spectrum, all over. I mean, I read you a couple of different responses.
Yep.
They're all over the place. Like you were saying, it's schizophrenic out there.
It really is. It's nuts. And it's all in perception. You know what? I've got one. The NBC News put out a tweet, poll Democrats Trump to blame for government shutdown. And what it actually said is 39% blame Democrats, 38% blame Trump, 18% blame Republicans in Congress.
Right.
And so their NBC's headline was Democrats Trump to blame for government shutdown. And what Ian Millhiser tweeted was that's not what the poll says. Poll says 39% blame Democrats, 38 blame Trump, 18% blame Republicans in Congress. So 56% blame Republicans. Please do better when you write headlines.
Yep, I retweeted that very tweet. I saw that, and it was accurate, and they actually did point that out on MSNBC.
Oh, did they?
So, and yeah, which is weird because NBC is the one who he's criticizing. But whoever was hosting, maybe it was Stephanie Ruhle. Somebody said, no, look, that's if you add that. Oh, you know who I think it was? Steve Kornacki might have said it.
Yeah,
of all people. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's totally misleading.
Yeah, but it's still, if you put it out in order, 29, the majority blame Democrats. Whatever party is the one voting against the government being open is who gets the blame.
Yeah,
and the whole thing is so disturbing. I don't know what the right answer is. All I know is we're going to be back there again in just over 2 weeks.
The right answer is that if the Republicans would stop screwing around and stop pulling dirty tricks and honestly negotiate in earnest, and if, you know, because we've got Democrats who I may disagree with, but they're reaching out. There are some Republicans that seem to be, but if the far right would just shut their big mouths, that would be the answer. But they're in there because they were elected. And because there's gerrymandering, and we're stuck with this now.
That's true. And you said if Republicans would negotiate in earnest?
I know. That's exactly. That's a big if. But that's what I'm saying. That's the answer. If there would be some good old-fashioned politics and negotiating and less, you know, and if the problem is, though, with this president and his cabinet and his spokespeople and his appointees and the people who represent him in Congress, everything is moved so far to the right. So, as you know, Martique in the chat said, I need a reality check. The Republicans aren't going to do that. I never
said
they were.
She knows.
Said,
that's why I laughed.
That would be the answer.
Right. That's why I laughed. That's why, yes. I pointed it out, and because that was one of the funniest things that was said all day today.
Exactly. That it's not going to happen. Oh my goodness. Oh no. If I say that, if this would happen, there's a big if there. I don't say it will happen. It's funny, on Twitter, I get the same thing. I say something as a supposition, and it says if or something, and people construe it as I'm saying this will happen. No. I'm a realist. I know stuff that's real.
Right. No, we know what the reality is, unfortunately. Yeah. The reality is that the Republicans control both chambers of Congress and the White House.
Yeah.
That's the mess that we're in.
Right. So it's not going to happen. Something will happen eventually, some deal that we're all going to be really upset with. But my wish would be that we'd go back to at least each side getting to put amendments in and have their say and have hearings.
Committees. And oh my God, isn't that... That's what John McCain was talking about when he talked about regular order. Well, there is no more regular order. It doesn't exist anymore. It's all about...
It's not even irregular order. It's just no order.
You're right. On that note, we're done. Stick
we
a fork
are so done.
In us. Oh, my God. All right. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, 2 T's, 2 F's, and at laffiesplace.com, at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Gotta Laugh.
Thank you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. Tomorrow, our old pal Jason Leopold will be here. He had a big, big story at BuzzFeed, and I'll get him to explain it because it's too complicated for me. Thanks for listening, everyone.